Welcome to the How To Dressage podcast, and in this episode we're going to look at how to ride a good circle and vault. So circles are one of the first bending movements that a young horse will learn. They're also one of the first movements that you will ride on a horse that is not fully warmed up. And every dressage test throughout all the levels asks for you to perform circles of various sizes. And out of all of the dressage movements, a circle is a figure that you will ride more than any other. And yet, this humble circle is one of the most difficult movements for horse and rider to get right. So in this podcast episode, we're going to look at the benefits of circles, what makes a good circle, how to ride a good circle, and we're also going to go through some of the common mistakes that are made. So let's kickstart this episode off by first discussing what is the difference between a circle and a vault. Well, honestly, not much. The only difference is the size. So anything that is sized 10 metres or below, so that's 10 metres, 8 metres and 6 metres, then it's called a vault. But anything that's larger than 10 metres, so 15 metres and 20 metres, those are called circles. And that's really the only difference. Okay, so now let's move on to talk about why are circles important. Well, circles are an exceptionally useful training tool and they are fundamental to your horse's progression. And when they're ridden correctly, circles provide the following benefits. So firstly, they improve your horse's suppleness, especially his lateral suppleness, which is his side-to-side dexterity. It also helps to improve your horse's straightness and body alignment, because in order for a horse to be straight, he must also be supple. Circles also help to strengthen your horse's hindquarters because they encourage your horse's inside hind leg to step further underneath his centre of gravity, thereby improving his engagement. They also help to get your horse working into your outside rein. They help to improve your horse's balance, and they also help to improve your horse's core strength. Now, when ridden diligently, they also will help to develop your horse's ability to collect. Circles will help to keep your horse focused and keep him attentive to your aids. Circles will also test the coordination of your leg, seat, rein, and body positioning, and they will allow you to assess your horse's responsiveness to your leg, seat, rein, and body positioning aids. Circles will help you to slow down an eager horse and control the tempo of the pace. And finally, circles will help you to prepare and position your horse for lateral movements. So in essence, circles are fundamental to your training. If you can't ride a good circle, then you and your horse will not progress. And also, circles can be ridden in all the basic paces, so walk, trot, and canter. And they can therefore provide you with various additional training movements, such as transitions on a circle, changing the rein out of a circle, spirals, serpentines, etc. Okay, so now that we know why we want to ride them, let's discuss what makes a good circle. Because for a circle to be described as good or excellent, and in order for it to deliver the benefits that we've just talked about, it must have the following six qualities. So quality number one is your circle must be accurate. So the shape of a circle is perfectly round, and therefore the circles that you ride in the dressage arena must also be perfectly round. And a perfect circle is always the same distance from its centre, and it does not include any sharp turns or corners. Now, quality number two is that you must be able to demonstrate the correct bend. So if you are riding a circle to the left, then your horse must bend uniformly through his body to the left. He must not be looking to the outside, falling in or falling out, or have more bend in his neck than the rest of his body. Now, quality number three is that your horse must be moving on one track. So this means that your horse's hind feet should follow in the tracks left by your horse's front feet. He should not swing his quarters out and he should not cross his legs over. Now, quality number four is that you must maintain the same rhythm and tempo. So the rhythm and tempo must be the same before, during, and after. And remember that tempo is the speed of the rhythm. So your horse should not slow down to negotiate the circle. Now, of course, the pace can become more collected, but that doesn't mean the tempo should be any slower. Now, moving on to quality number five, and this is that you must demonstrate the correct frame and balance. So when riding a circle, your horse must remain balanced and connected through his back to the contact, relative to his level of training. So he must not drop onto his forehand or come above or behind the bit. And the final quality, quality number six, is that your circle must flow. Now, if you've achieved the previous qualities, 1 to 5, that we've just talked about, then this quality, quality number six, should come almost automatically. So once you've done 1 to 5, your circle should automatically flow. So to the onlooker, the whole movement should appear smooth, consistent, and fluid. Okay, so now that we know what a good circle looks like, how do we go about riding one? So here are 6 steps to riding a good circle. So step number one is you've first got to choose the correct circle size. So the standard circle sizes are 20 meters, 15 meters, 10 meters, 8 meters, and 6 meters. Now during training, you can ride circles at any size your horse is capable of, not just the standard circle sizes. But it is essential that you choose the correct size. So the smaller the circle diameter, the more difficult it is for your horse. Where 20 meter circles can be ridden on novice horses at the beginning of their careers, 6 meter vaults should only be ridden on advanced horses that have achieved high levels of balance, engagement, suppleness, and collection. So during your schooling sessions, you should always start by working on large circles until your horse's muscles warm up and loosen, and then you can progress to smaller circles and tighter turns, but keeping them within your horse's current level of capabilities. So that's your first step. Now, step number two is that you need to know the dimensions of your arena. So once you have chosen your circle size, you need to know the dimensions so that you can ride an accurate and correctly placed circle. For example, if you want to ride a 15 meter circle at A in a 20 by 40 arena, you must know that firstly, you need to start and finish at the letter A. And for the circle to be 15 meters, it needs to be 5 meters away from X and be 2.5 meters away from the outside track on both sides. So think of a diamond shape where each of those 4 points touches a quarter point of the circle. And then you're going to ride that diamond shape but round off each point. And then this will help you to position the circle accurately and also to keep it round. Now when you're practicing smaller circles, it can be helpful to position cones or buckets in your arena at home to mark out where each point of your circle should be. And again, this will help you to keep it accurate and to keep it round. Okay, so you know what circle size you want to ride, and you know how to place it in your arena in order for it to be accurate. We now move on to step three, where you need to prepare your horse. So the smaller the size of the circle, the more collected your horse needs to be. Where 20 meter circles can be ridden in the working paces with some lengthened strides, 6 meter vaults should only be ridden in a collected pace. Therefore, it's vital that you prepare your horse sufficiently beforehand, ensuring that you are approaching the circle at a suitable pace, balance, and tempo. And then we move on to step number four, which is you need to apply the correct aids. So in order for your horse to negotiate the circle while staying balanced, upright, and on one track, you must ask him to bend uniformly through his whole body. Now, in order to do that, here are the aids that you need to apply. So first up, let's talk about your inside leg. So your inside leg should be at the girth, and this stimulates your horse's intercostal muscles, which are the muscles between his ribs. Your inside leg encourages him to pull these muscles closer together on the inside of his body, therefore shortening and strengthening, and at the same time encourages him to move the muscles further apart on the outside of his body, therefore stretching and suppling him. Now, your inside leg also creates forward impulsion and encourages your horse's inside hind leg to step further underneath his centre of gravity. Now, moving on to your outside leg should be positioned behind the girth. This helps to guard your horse's hindquarters and prevent them from drifting off the circle line. And also, by moving your outside leg behind the girth, this also allows your horse's ribs to expand on the outside, as we've just talked about. Thereby, your outside leg works alongside your inside leg. So now let's talk about your inside rein. So your inside rein should ask for a small amount of flexion to the inside. This helps to indicate the direction of bend, and it also helps to position your horse's head and neck on the curved line. But importantly, the inside rein should not be used to turn your horse, because this will just result in too much neck bend and your horse will fall out through his outside shoulder. Now also, once your horse has given you the desired amount of inside flexion, then relax your inside rein. Don't hang on to it, because that can cause stiffness and resistance in your horse. So the inside rein asks for that small amount of flexion, and then it relaxes. So now let's talk about the outside rein. So your outside rein is used to prevent too much neck bend to the inside. Therefore, it helps you to control your horse's outside shoulder and prevents him from falling out. Your outside rein can also be used to control your horse's tempo, so that's the speed of the rhythm, and you can also use the outside rein to give balancing half halts. Right, so now let's talk about your head, something that's often forgotten. Your head should be up and looking ahead and around the circle that you are negotiating. Your horse will pretty much go wherever you look, so don't look down at your horse. Instead, just focus on your next circle point to help you maintain the circle accuracy and a consistent bend. So now let's talk about your weight. So you should have a little bit more weight in your inside seat bone and your inside stirrup, but you should still keep a contact with your outside seat bone and the saddle, so you're not tipping to the inside. Now, this slight weight shift frees up the outside of your horse's body. Again, this allows it to expand. It also encourages your horse's inside hind leg to step under your weight and his centre of gravity. Now, as we said, you should still remain sat up straight and central and don't lean inwards. Now, ironically, if you have put your legs in the correct position with your inside leg at the girth and your outside leg behind the girth, then you should feel this weight shift onto your inside seat bone happen almost naturally. Okay, and finally, let's talk about your body positioning. So your shoulders should be turned from your waist to the inside, and they should match the angle of your horse's shoulders. Now, the smaller the circle that you are riding, the more you're going to need to turn your upper body. Now, when it comes to your hips should match the angle of your horse's hips. But again, this should happen almost automatically, because if you position your legs correctly, with the inside leg at the girth and your outside leg behind the girth, you will notice that this also changes the angle of your hips. Okay, so at this point, you have chosen the correct circle size, you know how to accurately place it in the arena, you have prepared your horse for the circle, and you have applied the correct aids. Let's now move on to step number 5, where you need to maintain the rhythm and impulsion. So as we talked about earlier, the rhythm and impulsion must remain consistent before, during, and after the circle. Now, many riders stop riding forwards and they allow the pace to dwindle. They incorrectly think that their horses need to go slower in order to get around the circle. Now, if you are riding a small circle, you will need to collect the pace for your horse to be able to negotiate the circle in balance and to be able to complete it with ease. But collection does not mean go slower. And you should still maintain the same rhythm and the level of impulsion. This is what is helping to bring your horse's inside hind leg further underneath him and helping to deliver on all those benefits that we talked about earlier. Okay, and finally, we have step number 6, which is you now need to ride out of the circle. So after riding a circle, many riders think that they need to pull on the outside rein in order to straighten their horses out of the inside bend and to take them off the circle. Unfortunately, doing this only causes their horses to lose balance and alignment. Instead, to ride your horse off a circle, simply put all of your aids back to neutral and ride forwards. Your horse will naturally straighten out of the bend. Okay, so that covers the 6 steps on how to ride a good circle. Let's now go through some of the common mistakes. So we've got 6 of the most common mistakes that we're going to go through, and these are regularly seen when riding circles. So mistake number 1 is that people ride into the corners of the arena. So there is a very clear difference between going large and riding a 20 meter circle at say A or C. So if you were going to go large around the outside of the arena, you would ride straight down the long side, you would then bend your horse for your first corner, you would ride straight along the short side, bend your horse for the second corner, and then you would ride straight down the opposite long side. Now, if you were going to ride a 20 meter circle at A, you would ride straight down the long side, bend your horse for the first corner, you would ride straight along the short side until you reach A. Now, when you got to A, this is where you would leave the outside track to start your 20 meter circle. You would only touch the outside track again on the long sides for 1 to 2 strides before passing through X and then touching the opposite long side again for 1 to 2 strides and then rejoining the track again at A. You would then ride straight along the rest of the short side, bend your horse for the second corner, and then ride straight down the long side again. Okay, hopefully that makes sense. It's quite difficult to explain on a podcast. If you want to see a diagram, we have got them in the blog posts. Just go to howtodressage.com and search for the article, How to Ride a Good Circle. Because what judges tend to see is they tend to see a combination of the two. So what they witness is riders kind of come down the long side, they ride the first corner, they ride straight along the whole short side of the arena, completely past A, then they will ride the next corner, they will ride straight down the long side, only riding an arch through X and across the arena. So they kind of do a combination of riding into the corners on the short side and then just arching their way across to the opposite long side. Now that does not include a circle. So you don't ride into the corners of the arena when you are riding a circle. Again, if you want to see a diagram of that, go to howtodressage.com. But now let's move on to mistake number 2. And this is that the rider does not plan and prepare. So as we talked about in the steps previously, before riding a circle, you need to have chosen the circle size, know your arena dimensions so that you can ride it accurately, and you need to prepare your horse sufficiently. Failure to do those steps results in riding around aimlessly. It results in producing egg-shaped circles and also throwing your horse off balance, putting them onto circles that they're not prepared for. Because circles seem like a basic and an easy exercise, Many riders do not give them the thought that they require. However, if you plan your circles with the same amount of diligence as you would, say, a canter zigzag, then you would produce a much higher quality of work. Okay, so now let's move on to mistake number 3. And this is little or no bend. So if you do not bend your horse's body enough to match the curve of the circle line, then in order for your horse to turn, your horse will have to lean inwards like a motorbike. Now, leaning and bending are mutually exclusive. So if you bend your horse correctly and enough, then he won't lean. But if your horse is leaning, then it's because he is not bending correctly. Now, if you struggle to create enough bend through your horse's body for the size of the circle that you want to perform, then you're probably asking your horse to perform a circle that is too small for your horse's current level of lateral suppleness. Make the circle bigger and get the bend correct, and slowly progress to the smaller circles as your horse's suppleness improves. Okay, now moving on to mistake number 4, and this is trying to correct a horse that falls inwards by pulling on the outside rein. So when a horse is falling inwards towards the centre of a circle, many riders will pull on their outside rein in an effort to keep their horse out and on the circle line. Although this may seem like a very logical thing to do, it will only encourage your horse to look to the outside, so therefore not bending correctly, and it will also cause him to fall inwards towards his inside shoulder even more. So instead, to correct a horse that is falling inwards, you need to use your inside leg to push your horse out and up into your outside rein. Now, moving on to mistake number 5, and this is a very common one. This is where riders turn the horse with the inside rein in isolation. Now, this usually comes from when people start riding, because they're often instructed to pull on the left rein to go left and pull on the right rein to go right. Although this makes things very simple for a small child to grasp, it's actually very bad advice. Pulling on the inside rein in isolation will not turn your horse. It will only serve to turn his head. Therefore, it will create too much neck bend. It will misalign your horse's body. It will put him on his forehand, and it will cause him to fall out through his outside shoulder. To bend your horse correctly around circles, you must use all the aids that we talked about earlier. Now, ironically, out of all of the aids, so your reins, legs, seat, weight, and body positioning aids, your inside rein is actually the one that you use the least. Okay, and finally, the last mistake, mistake number 6, and this is drilling the horse. So, although circles are fundamental dressage movements that should be ridden in every schooling session, you should not drill your horse on them consistently. And by this, we mean constantly riding the horse on the same sized circle in the same pace, just going around and around and around. Now, as mentioned, circles require a lot of suppleness, balance, core strength, and control from your horse, especially the smaller circles. Smaller circles are more difficult than bigger circles. And drilling them non-stop will only cause your horse to fatigue, and therefore the quality of the circle will reduce. So instead, ride frequent circles of different sizes and combine them with changes of rein, transitions, spirals, and stretches. The quality of your circle is much more important than the number of the revolutions that you do on the circle. So, to wrap this episode up, circles are a fundamental movement that are included in every training session from day one, and they form part of every single dressage test. Although they are often overlooked, the ability to ride high quality and correct circles is fundamental to your training and progression. So start by choosing the correct circle size and knowing the dimensions of your arena. Next, ensure that you prepare your horse for the movement. Use all of your bending aids correctly. Maintain the rhythm and impulsion and ride out of the circle smoothly. Now, you should pay as much attention to your circles as you would other seemingly more difficult movements. Now, if you have any questions when it comes to this podcast episode, or if you have any other hints and tips that you would like to share with us, then please do so in the comments box at the bottom of the relevant blog post on our website. And to make sure that you don't miss out on any of our other free stuff, our books, our training diaries and competitions, then please don't forget to like and follow us on our other social media platforms, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube and Pinterest. We truly appreciate you for taking the time to listen to our podcast and we hope that you got a lot from it. For more, don't forget to check out our articles and other free stuff, which is available on our website howtodressage.com, and pop by Amazon for our range of dressage books, planners and diaries to help you stay on track with your competitions and training. Bye for now.